Shalom, and thank you for listening to sermons from Tikvat Israel, a Messianic synagogue in the heart of Richmond, Virginia. Listening to the podcast is great, but we would love to meet you in person. All are welcome, and that includes you. So if you want the full experience, please join us Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for our worship service at the corner of Arthur Ashe Boulevard and Grove in the historic synagogue across from the Art Museum. Can't make it in person? No problem. We are also live streaming on YouTube. Contact our administrator at tikvatdirector@gmail.com for the link during the week, or contact us on our website, tikvatisrael.com. There, you can also support the ministry, learn more about Messianic Judaism, and find helpful resources. May Hashem bless you through the hearing of his word.
Many years ago, a good friend and former boss of mine got up in front of everyone at a company meeting and gave a speech. The first words out of his mouth always struck me were, "Servant leadership, what is it?" He went on to say that as upper management, it was their responsibility to serve us as employees and give us support and tools we needed to succeed. I was like, what is this? I was totally blown away by this idea. I thought it was an employee's responsibility to serve our bosses and upper management. And as a company back then, it was a great place to work. Also, being a former sailor, I was there to serve the officers and the men appointed above me. So this was a totally new concept to me. This was long before I knew anything about the Lord, but this gave me a good work ethic. Sadly, that company I had worked for changed its focus away from the people that made things happen, started treating them like cogs in a machine. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to retire. But I always did the best I could to help others succeed, because if my subordinates and the others that associate with me do well, so would I. It was a win-win. And when I came to learn who Yeshua was, I realized what I learned in the outside world was truly biblical. Why should we serve as Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles? Because, in my opinion, I'm seeing more negative activity against the faith community. It is our society, our schools, and mostly on social media. We who believe in God and Yeshua are being painted with a broad brush as self-righteous, judgmental, racist, homophobic. Or in one post I saw calling out, parents who teach their children about God and the Bible are indoctrinating them into something that is not true. But we know better. We do know the truth. We may not agree with the way some people choose to live, but we should not condemn or judge them for it. That is not up to us. We should love them anyway. We could show them the truth in living as Yeshua wants us to live is in the service of helping others. During the Passover story, we find out how much Moses became a servant leader, reluctantly at first. When God told him from the burning bush, and this is from Exodus 3, I don't have any scriptures to share, but you can bring it up on your phone if you'd like, or in the Bibles that are in the pews. From Exodus 3, verse 7 and following. Then Adonai said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their slave masters, for I know their pains. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land into a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Into the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, or Jebusites. I can't say that five times fast, sorry. Now behold, the cry of Bnei Yisrael has come to me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression that the Egyptians have inflicted on them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, B'nai Israel, out of Egypt. But what does Moses say to Adonai? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring B'nai Israel out of Egypt? So the Lord said in verse 12, I will surely be with you. So that will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, suppose I go to B'nai Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What should I say to them? God answered Moses, I am who I am. Then he said, you are to say to B'nai Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, you are to say to B'nai Israel, Adonai, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and the name by which I should be remembered from generation to generation. Go now, gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have been paying close attention to you and have seen what is done to you in Egypt. So I promise, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land, said forth formerly the land flowing with milk and honey. Adonai continues, they will listen to your voice. So you will go, you along with the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt and say to him, Adonai, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Adonai, our God. Nevertheless, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go, except by my mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will do in the midst of it. After that, he will let you go. But Moses has doubts in himself and fear about going back to Egypt. Well, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster. This is from Exodus 4. And Moses said, but look, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. They will say, Adonai has not appeared to you. So Adonai said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, Moses said. He said, cast it on the ground. And when he did, it became a serpent. So Moses fled from before it. And Adonai said to Moses, stretch out your hand and take it by the tail. So he put out his hand, laid hold of it, and it became a staff in his hand. This is so that they may believe Adonai, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Adonai also said to him, now put your hand within your cloak. So he put his hand inside, and when he took it out, his hand had sa'arat, a skin disease. It was white as snow. Then he said, put your hand back into your cloak. So he put his hand back in. When he took it out, it was restored again as the rest of his skin. Then he said, if they do not believe you or listen to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the message of the latter sign. But if they do not believe even these two signs, nor listen to your voice, you are to take the water of the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take out of the river will become blood on the ground. Did that do it for Moses? Was he ready to do what Adonai asked? Not quite. Verse 10. But Moses said to Adonai, Adonai, I am not a man of words. Not yesterday, nor the day before, nor since you have spoken to your servant, because I have a slow mouth and a heavy tongue. So Adonai said to him, who made man's mouth or makes a man mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is not I? Adonai. Now go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. But he said, please, please, send it by another hand. Not me. He didn't want to go. Well, Adonai grew tired of his excuses. The anger of Adonai was kindled against Moses. So he said, in fact, Aaron the Levite is your brother. I know that he could speak well. Moreover, he is on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his and teach you what to do. He will be your spokesman to the people so that he may act as a mouthpiece for you. And it will be as if you were as God for him. Now then, you must take this staff in your hand and do the signs. Well then, we know the rest of the story that we told at our seders this week. God made Moses his servant leader, gave him what to say, how to say it, sent Aaron with him. Adonai led him to prepare Pharaoh for the greatness of Adonai, that he was supreme over the gods with a little g of Egypt. And he would show B'nai Yisrael the power and the might of Adonai, that he was with them. From the suffering, through the plagues, through the sea, and through the desert, God was with them. I could somewhat relate to how Adonai guided Moses. Not that I am anything like Moses. No, no, no. I'm talking about what we called in the military OJT, on-the-job training. It's a process of showing someone how to do something by guiding them through it. This was the best way for me to learn new things, not by reading a how-to manual, but doing it hands-on. Somehow, I don't see Adonai ever handing us a how-to manual at all. But ever since Bonnie and I started coming here to Tikvot a little over 15 years ago, I had the desire to serve, not for any gain, except for spiritual growth and to bring a positive light into the lives of others. I started saying, Hineni, here I am, just like Moses said at the burning bush when he was called, Hineni, here I am. So I looked for positive role models in the congregation to learn what they did under their guidance. I found the more we served, the more enriched Adonai has blessed our lives, the closer to God and my Messiah we became. Free from troubles and trials? Oh, no, no, no. Nope. Just because we follow God doesn't mean everything is wonderful and nothing bad happens. But we were more blessed nevertheless. And it gave us the ability to deal with the troubles and the trials because the Lord was always there and gave us hope, which is what Tikvot is. What did Yeshua say about service? Yeshua emphasized the importance of serving others in his teaching. One key passage where he speaks about service is found in the Gospel of Luke. This is in Luke 12:35-38. Yeshua uses a parable to illustrate the readiness and willingness to serve. He says, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. This passage highlights the importance of being prepared to serve at all times. putting the master's interests before one's own. Additionally, in Luke 22:27, Yeshua describes himself as one who serves, saying, "I am among you as the one who serves." This reflects his role as a servant leader, coming not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as ransom for many, as also stated in Mark 10, verse 45. Yeshua made the ultimate sacrifice in the service to others by dying on the execution stake as a criminal for the forgiveness of all of our sin. So why serve? We don't do it for money. We don't do it for praise. And although we may get a good feeling when we are helping others, we don't do it for that. That should not be our motivation. We do it because it is the right thing to do. That is what our Messiah shows us. We show up. We, as Rabbi Anton Shishkov says about being available, we show up. And as I mentioned earlier about the attack on people of faith, when we serve others out of the goodness of our heart, maybe, just maybe, we could change a person's way of thinking. Service, or avodah, is work. It is sacrifice. We are doing avodah. We must remember to set boundaries and take care of ourselves. Because if we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we take care of others? Kind of like if you're on an airplane and they tell you, in case of emergency, you put the oxygen on yourself before helping others to do the same. Makes sense, right? When you are serving, you can't do everything you may want to do for everyone all the time. Look at Moses. He could not do everything for everybody all the time. He would get burnt out. His father-in-law, Jethro, recognized this and explained to him that he needed help. So he appointed elders to delegate to. That is why you don't do avodah on your own. You work with others to come alongside you. Why? For guidance and assistance. You can't be a servant leader unless you are a servant follower first. Or else, how do you learn to serve? Look at Joshua. Was he a natural-born leader? Some people may say so. He might have some leadership qualities instilled in him, but he became a respected leader by doing what? Following Moses. Moses mentored Joshua. This is why Moses chose him to lead the people into the promised land. Now, I don't consider myself a guy that has many skills, but I learn from others. When it comes to electronics, if you know they're not functioning correctly, I first try to shut it off and turn it back on. In fact, at my last job, if I had a problem with my computer, I'd call our IT guy. I say, "Hey, my computer's not working right." And you know what he would say? "Well, did you try to reboot it?" Wait a minute, we pay you all this money to be an IT tech and that's what you tell me? But you know what? Even though he had that special training, that's what it took. Turn it off, turn it back on. Whew. Not long ago, we had an issue with one of our security cameras. Wasn't working. So I went to where it was, looked around, and I couldn't reach it. So I was like, what am I going to do about this camera that's not working? So in the corner, lo and behold, there was a broom. So I took the broom and I gave the camera a good whack. Bam! When I went back to the camera monitor, lo and behold, it was working. Baruch Hashem. See, No technical training required. But Bonnie did tell me the other day it's out again, so I have to take another whack at it. Remember, folks, when we are serving, there will be times God is going to give us something different to deal with. It might be outside our comfort zone and perhaps unfamiliar territory. So what should we do? First, we should pray about it to the Lord for insight and courage to step outside the box, outside our comfort zone. Secondly, we should go to someone that could give us some guidance, someone that might have done it before. Could be a ministry leader, shamash, elder, or the rabbi. They could come alongside you and give you guidance and perhaps confidence to grab a broom and take a whack at it. But you know something? I believe in my heart, however you do it, it will bring glory to God. Shabbat shalom.